States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
This time I'd like to check and see if everyone who needs a hearing device, is there anyone here who needs a hearing device that doesn't have one? Is everyone able to hear me and hear my voice clearly? Thank you. First item on our agenda 1.3 after the Pledge of Allegiance is roll call. All the council members are here save Dan Deaver, who is recovering from an illness, and he is expected to be ill till probably the middle of June. So at this time, even though he didn't call me, we know this is an ongoing issue. I would entertain a motion to excuse Dan from tonight's meeting.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Item 1.4, citizen input. Is there any citizens in our audience tonight who would like to address the City Council? Please raise your hand and I'll recognize you. And you can come to the podium, state your name and address, and you'll be given several minutes to speak. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 2, the approval of the agenda. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve tonight's agenda.
I'll make that motion.
Second. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item number 3, consent agenda. Those items are consist of the City Council minutes, the approval of the accounts payable, and the resolution to accept a donation for Shop with a Cop. I need a motion to approve our consent agenda tonight.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion made and seconded. Thank you. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Item 4, current business. 4.1. Recognition, Pastor Bob Loon. This time I'd like to ask Pastor Bob Loon and his wife to come forward for special recognition from the Othello City Council. Pastor Bob and his wife are people who hardly need an introduction to anywhere in this community. They have proudly served this community for, well, as a pastor and a fellow for over 34 years. I come to find out last week that he's a recent Corbin University graduate. Is that correct?
No, Tim is. I'm from Northwest Nazarene.
Oh, you're from Northwest Nazarene. Okay.
I was in basketball.
Okay, well, we need to keep that straight. Pastor Bob has served on various committees and helped many a person in this community, myself included, and his door was always open. And I felt that at the time of his retirement that the city should honor him and his wife with a special recognition, which is a key to the city of Othello. It says, Robert Loon, a father to the city, a man who believes in the goodness of God. And I'd like to present you and your wife this key to the city of Othello. And if you'd like, would you like to say a few words?
Well, just to be able to say it has been our absolute privilege to live and work and minister here in Othello for the last 34 years. And we are home here, and about 95% of all the people we know in the world live right here. So we want to continue.
Moving to item 4.2, Columbia Basin Development Lead. We are honored to have with us tonight Mike Schwizo. He's the Columbia Basin Development League Government Relations Director, which, he, as he explained to me, is the fancy word for lobbyist. And the City of Othello has been a member of the Columbia Basin Development League, and we had asked them at some point to do a presentation, and so he's here tonight to present a little bit about the Columbia Basin Development League and its role in water in the Columbia Basin. Is that correct?
That's correct, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much for the opportunity to present to the council tonight, Mr. Mayor, members of the committee. Mike Schwizo, I'm the Government Relations Director. That's kind of, as the mayor said, the polite way to say the lobbyist for the league. And, you know, in some circles, the lobbyist isn't always generally regarded well, but it's a profession that allows us to advocate on behalf of, I think, very worthy causes. In this particular case, it's the Columbia Basin Project. The Columbia Basin Development League was organized in the mid-1960s, and its purpose in life, really, is to promote continued development of the Columbia Basin Project. And we like to think of this fantastic infrastructure, the Columbia Basin Project, the Reclamation Project, as the engine that drives the economy in Central Washington. It truly is when you look at it. You have a handout packet there that has a collection of kind of our current information pieces that you can look through at your leisure. On the top then also is a one-pager that's titled Progress Towards the Odessa Groundwater Subarea, and that's a specific project that we've been working on for the last several years. The Development League is, I think you could describe it as sort of a regional chamber of commerce type activity. We have a very broad-based board of trustees. We have a commissioner from each of the counties that is in the project service area on the board of trustees, as well as Main Street business people, farmers, folks that make up the leadership of the economy here in Central Washington. We do a work plan every year, and this year our work plan is kind of going back to the basics. For the last number of years, since 2005 really, the league has really been focused on the Odessa groundwater situation, the decline of the aquifer out there, and trying to develop solutions for that. I think we've kind of made a lot of progress on that particular project and want to go back now and refocus on some of the broader issues that the Development League was originally formed to address. So besides implementation of the groundwater replacement program, we're going back and having another look at now reinvestment in project infrastructure. The Columbia Basin Project is a project, one built by Reclamation in the 17 western states. It's fairly new by project standards, though. This project was developed really after 1950. The Bureau of Reclamation was organized in 1902, and a lot of projects throughout the West are really very old. One of the benefits of having a young project, though, is that we're still living off of the initial investments in project infrastructure. Our concrete's not too old in this project. But what we're finding now, 50 to 60 years into the development of this project, is some of our infrastructure is starting to wear out. And that's being reflected in an increase in assessment rates on landowners. I don't know if a lot of people know, but responsibility for operation and maintenance of the project rests with the landowners. It's not paid by the federal government. It's not paid by Congress. It's paid by assessments on landowners. The three irrigation districts that operate the project in partnership with Reclamation collect assessments from landowners, and that pays for operation and maintenance. And when you say maintenance, that means patching a crack or a leak this year, or replacing 50-year-old pumps that run $2 million apiece. That all comes out of the pocket of the landowners. And as this project gets older now, we need to find a way to start reinvesting in replacement of some major facilities. And we want to focus attention on that and focus on ways that we can assist the three districts that operate the project in finding good ways to finance that so our reinvestment infrastructure can be stretched over longer periods of time. We also want to talk about project completion. Now, that was what the league was originally form to do was to drive this project through to completion. The talk has always been about finishing the second half of the project. Well, folks, with what we're doing on the Odessa sub-area, the development of that project out there, we don't have a second half to complete. We're down to the final quarter. We now have enough water in hand, if we can apply it, to replace deep well irrigation. We will have close to 750,000 acres under irrigation in the Columbia Basin project. The project is authorized at 1,029,000 acres. So we'll have 750,000 there. So we're down to the last quarter. And what we need to start talking about is food security and the national interest in having this project completed. There are very few places in the world where you will find land and water resources that we have available here. There's a lot of challenges. We've found over the last 7 years doing this Odessa project that it ain't easy to develop in a federal reclamation project, particularly when you have endangered species listed in your water supply and immense amount of red tape to go through to get projects to move forward. But it can be done, requires persistence, and there is a tremendous economic base that lies just out to the east of Ofello here that still can come into production and contribute to the economy in this region. So the City of Ofello has been a partner with the Development League over the last several years. We truly appreciate that. It helps the League fulfill its mission, which is to move the project forward that benefits the entire economy of the region. We have, I think, made really substantial progress. It's slow. Doing development and reclamation projects is slow, and if you don't have perseverance and persistence, you never get it done, because it isn't going to be something that is easy or happens overnight. So this progress piece kind of is a general summary of really what we've accomplished since 2005. The Development League's Executive Committee met with Governor Gregoire in her conference room in September of 2005, and that's where the state of Washington agreed to partner with Reclamation on finding solutions to the Odessa aquifer problem out there. It was the Development League that organized that meeting and was the force driving behind getting the decision makers in our state and federal government to move this project forward. We didn't get a bill passed. It was all discretionary actions on the part of the executive branch that moved this project forward. So we've done an extremely complex study. The process for that will drive you crazy if you get in and look at it. The EIS is over 800 pages long. We also have to do a Section 7 consultation. That's all the work that's done under the Endangered Species Act to consult with NOAA Fisheries and U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service about whether further withdrawals of water from the Columbia River would jeopardize those species. We've accomplished that. A very complex task on its own. We've pulled together the water supply. You know, this project is all about the water, and the detail on that is that the Bureau of Reclamation holds a water right for this project. It has a 1938 priority date. It's for 6.4 million acre feet, and it's the water that's behind, impounded behind Grand Coulee Dam. But we still have to go through a permitting process to get that water out on the land. It requires under Washington law that Reclamation get a secondary use water right to withdraw from that storage permit. And we have managed, we collectively, the Department of Ecology, the Bureau of Reclamation, the three Columbia Basin Irrigation Districts now, have put together three different buckets of water, enough to irrigate 87,000 acres. It's in hand. We have a permit for 30,000 acre feet that was issued in late 2008. That one was litigated all the way to the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals, and Reclamation and the Department of Ecology were successful in that litigation. That water is in hand. That's enough to do 10,000 acres. We've been doing conservation on the project. System conservation, where we're piping and lining open canals and ditches, and water that's conserved from those activities is allowed to stay on the project to irrigate more land. We've done enough conservation since 2006 to irrigate another 7,700 acres, real water that we're just making up out of being more efficient. And finally, the big chunk, the water that's associated with the Odessa study itself, on March 6th, the the Department of Ecology issued a secondary use permit for 164,000 acre feet, enough water to irrigate another 70,000 acres. So we have our water rights in hand, ready to go. And in the meantime, since 2005, we've been working on facilities. Got to be able to convey that water once you have it. And the Columbia Basin Project was built to be developed incrementally. So a lot of the initial facilities were less than full size. And the intent was then, as the project developed and more land came into production, then we'd increase the size of the projects. The first two big ones that we needed to get done and we have completed now are the Weber Cooley siphons. There are two siphon tubes that go under Interstate 90 on East Slope Canal, about 12 miles east of Moses Lake. We were successful in getting funds from the stimulus program for that, $36 million, built two 14-foot diameter siphons over a mile long. And we found a new way to feed water to Pockels. You know, Pockels is the sole water supply for South District, some 220,000 acres of farmland south of here, all gets its water from Pockels, 900,000 acre feet. We needed to make sure that water supply was secure, and the existing system wasn't delivering enough water to Pockels to make sure South supply was secure. We needed a new way to get water to Pockels, and we developed the Pockels Supplemental Feed Route, which basically uses the Crab Creek Channel to convey water from Pinto Dam up there by Billy Clapp Lake right down the Crab Creek drainage into Moses Lake and into Pockels. We're moving 125,000 acre feet of water there, securing South supply, making room in East Low Canal to serve lands to the east. And then we got started on implementation. So all this came together last April. We had the signing of the Record of Decision, which is the document from Reclamation that says the studies are done, the environmental review is being completed, you have a project that has an alternative that is feasible, and you're ready to implement, start building. Last year, the state legislature appropriated $31.7 million in the capital budget for Odessa project implementation. East District, East Columbia Basin Irrigation District, right down the street. By the way, I visit Othello office. I come to their monthly board meetings first Wednesday of every month if you want to go to another meeting. That's right over there. They have a $26 million grant from Ecology to expand East Low Canal. And this off-season, this irrigation off-season, starting last November, they pulled 1 million cubic yards of earth out of East Low Canal and widened the first 13 miles to full capacity so that we're able to convey enough water to start serving the lands out to the east. And finally, you know, it's all about contract. You know, a reclamation project, you gotta have a contract to do business. And the contract is between Reclamation and the Irrigation District. And the Irrigation District serves as the representative for all the landowners. They collect the assessments, they distribute the water, they're the interface, and they're the ones that contract on behalf of the landowners for repayment with Reclamation. It's all about having a contract. We have contracts in place now for two of the three buckets. The negotiation took 2 years, believe it or not. But we have contracts in place now for the Lake Roosevelt incremental releases water and for the coordinated conservation water. And we think that those contracts will serve as the model for the bigger bucket, the Odessa Sub-Area Study. So we're excited that things are moving forward. The league has a regular agenda of activities that we carry on every year. We have a Water Day activity in August. We invite members of congressional staff that are on August recess to come out. We take a day to take people out in the project and show them what facilities look like, engage them in policy discussions, and encourage their support for the project. We were right in the Othello area with our Water Day last year. We kind of moved around the project. You know, this project is so big you can't tour the entire project in a day. I mean, there's no chance of that. So we choose a fairly tight geographic area and then look at the facilities there. An annual conference every year, and then we have a very active lobbying program We have members of our Board of Trustees that come to Olympia and call on legislators, and then we also go back to Washington, D.C. That's coming up here in about 2 weeks to work the federal side of this, since this is a federal project. So that's my presentation for this evening. If the council is interested, I know you have monthly work sessions, and if the council is interested in delving into more Columbia Basin project issues, we would be happy to come back and address that at any length or depth that you would like to pursue on that. So I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Michael, thank you. I think we would be interested. Council? Any questions? I have a question.
You bet.
This last quarter of the project, you have all the water rights secured for the entire 250,000 acres approximately?
No. So here's the difference. We have a water right that secures the water in storage for that land. That's the reclamation water right it's a storage right for the water that's impounded behind Great Coulee. To get the water out of the river for that 250,000 acres requires environmental review and Section 7 consultation. It would be sort of like what we did over again with the Odessa project. So it'd be a challenge.
Okay.
The water is there, but the
trick, it's always been there.
The water has always been there since 1938. The trick is getting it out of the river.
Okay. So how? At what stage would you say we are in that process of completion?
In terms of that last quarter of the project, I think we're just at the beginning of the policy discussion around that. The focus for the last period of time has been on the Odessa aquifer issue. And frankly, when we started to engage that issue, and it was in the 2004 timeframe, when Reclamation Ecology and the three irrigation districts were having discussions about producing an MOU that that was actually signed by Governor Locke in December of 2004. The focus and the willingness to proceed was based on solving the economic and environmental problem of the aquifer decline, and there was not interest in pursuing development of new lands that currently were not being irrigated. So that's the big rock that we have to start to move.
Okay. Good.
So that we're talking about it.
Okay, thank you very much, Mike.
You bet.
Council?
Good. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Item 4.3, LTAC Distinguished Young Woman Funding Request. And Wade, did you want to speak first, or are we going to let the charming Penny Morris? Okay. Penny?
So I've been chosen as the spokesperson for our LTAC committee. So what we're proposing for and recommending that the City Council approve for the Distinguished Young Woman is $4,000 total. $2,000 would go to put the advertising on the trailer, because for us to give money for the trailer, it has to have advertising about Othello, and to get people interested about Othello. So we're proposing that $2,000 for that, and then $2,000 for the trailer. And that the $2,000 for the advertising is that then they would come to you with a plan and say, this is what we want to put on our trailer. Is this adequate to get the other $2,000 for the trailer?
Okay.
That's our proposal.
Is there any questions from the council? Spencer, do you want to speak to the finances of the issue?
Yes, thank you very much. This is what you see right here is a brief spreadsheet that shows our tourism fund, these tourism dollars, and where you as the City Council has elected to use those dollars this year. The Just as a brief background, the city collects tourism tax that goes into the tourism fund. These dollars are restricted by state law to be used for tourism activities, organizations that promote tourism within the city. The organizations that want to use these dollars go to the LTAC, the Lodging Tax Advisory Committee, which is made up of five people. Two people representing the organizations that pay this tax, so the hotels. Two people representing the organizations that are able to spend the money, these tourism promoting organizations. And then the fifth is a council member. And so these organizations come to this LTAC, this five-member committee, and plead their case. Okay, this is what we'd like to do. And at that point, just like Penny just did, she then makes a recommendation to you as a council for your consideration. Like I said before, these are the dollars that we've built into the budget this year. There's 11 different organizations this year that are receiving funds. At the very bottom of the page, you can see once we've spent these funds,
let me roll it up just a little.
Once we've spent these funds, at the end of the year, we'll have $40,197 left in this fund. And this $40,000, the city has been using a threshold for a number of years that you haven't wanted to go, you've wanted to leave a reserve in this fund.
What's that reserve, Spencer?
There's no, per state law and city ordinance and policy and resolution, there is no reserve.
Okay, but what have we kind of generally carried as a reserve?
Oh, it's been historically 40,000.
Okay.
Yeah. So what I wanted to do is just actually walk through that very question with you, just to make sure that you knew that although we've historically kept this balance about $40,000, there's no requirement to do that. I'm not saying you should or you shouldn't allocate these dollars. That's not my place. But I just want you to make a decision knowing the restrictions that are on these dollars and the restrictions that aren't actually on these dollars. So that was, I just wanted to briefly paint that picture for you.
Does council have any questions of Spencer about the money? Okay. Thank you, Spencer. Does council have any questions from the Distinguished Young Woman Group about their request? They have representatives Ron and Renee Jensen here. No questions? Any further questions of Penny, the chairman of the LTAC committee from the council, about her request and their proposal? Hearing none, staff recommends the council approve the request from the Lodging Tax Fund for the Distinguished Young Woman. I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
There's been a motion made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in yes.
So if we give them the $4,000 out of this tax fund, mm-hmm. it'll bring our balance down to 36. Okay. And these are just recommended allocations that have been made from the previous budget year.
These allocations here are allocations for 2014, for this year.
Okay. Recommended allocations.
These are the actual allocations. These allocations originally were the recommended allocations from the LDAC, and they were accepted by the city.
Okay. So these figures have already been accepted?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
There has been several other times that we have dropped down below the 40,000 with a special request. We had an emergency with the old hotel once. We helped them out. It brought the number down below 40,000 before, but the fund has made it back up with the council budgeting and stuff. And I think this is a very worthwhile project for them.
This is the first time I'm seeing this. That's why I'm asking questions about it. And I'm not opposing it.
Good.
You'll hear that in my vote. So,
just don't understand it.
Is there any further discussion? All those in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Penny, and distinguished young women. The next item, 4.5, scanning project. We have, I'm sorry, skipping ahead. 4.4, I apologize to Lynette and the group, Beautification Committee, about the banner design.
I'm Lynette Carruthers. I live at 830 South Skylark Way. I want to give you a quick update about where we are with our project. We're fully funded and we're ready to move forward. And we're meeting with our local contractors this week to get a start date and a timeline chronology for how the work will proceed on our prototype block between 14th and 13th. And with that in mind, we would also like to move forward with the banner design approval, and so the banners can be ordered. We're looking at least a 2-week lead time to, once the banners are ordered, for them to be made and for us to receive them. And would like to have the banners on site when the lights go in place so the entire project can go in and up at the same time. The shape you're looking at here, this is what the banners would look like on the light poles. The light poles will be double armed and they will be parallel to the street. The banners will be perpendicular to the street, so this is exactly what you would see as you come down the street. The triangular shape was chosen for wind load factor. It will be much less than if we had a rectangular banner up here. And also, this shape looks particularly good with the style of light that has been chosen. And you'll notice that the graphic on the banner is very different than anything you've seen to date in Othello. We departed from our city seal for a number of reasons. We do not have a logo for Othello. We are not branded yet. So the committee pretty much decided that these three things were really important, the elements that you see here. Sunshine, Othello is totally about sunshine, many, many months of the year. The wheat you see at the bottom represents our agriculture. We have hundreds and hundreds of acres of wheat. So agriculture is represented with the wheat. The cranes speak for themselves. And folks, it could be argued that, well, what if our crane festival goes away 5 years down the road? The cranes will still be here. And Othello is one of the primo birding areas in the entire state of Washington. So birds are represented here and they're not going away. So what we have here are two different colored backgrounds. We have a white background, here's the white background, and we have a red background. Now, we're not asking that you choose one or the other. We're asking that you accept the design that is on both banners, and we intend to use both banners, and we'll alternate as we go down the street. We're planning to put three sets of two on each block, and they will alternate as we go down the street, and the first block would be either with the red background or the white background, depending which we prefer to start with. The next block coming down Main Street would be the opposite, would be the white background or the red background, which we decide on. So the decision before us tonight is, are we okay with the banner design? And the artist that did our banner design, his name is Troy Withers, and he's a young man, fairly new to the area, and he's one of the administrative folks with Sage Hills Export Hay
Sage Hills Northwest.
Company.
Mm-hmm. Sage Hills Northwest.
Yes. And Troy has been wonderful to work with, and I love the concept that he has come up with. We gave him a basic idea of what we were interested in, and this is Troy's design. One slight change: if we decide to go with both colors, the possibility of making the Othello and the cranes black on both banners, so we would have that continuity as we move down the street. Didn't have time for Troy to make the change on the white cranes and the white Othello, but that possibility of black on both banners instead of the white that you see there. Comments, questions? What do you think?
Looks great.
Yeah.
Like
awesome.
It.
Awesome. Really good.
Love it. Although I do, I would say I like the white cranes because I think they pop out of the red more than the
okay.
black.
And
the black would just kind of, you'd lose them.
And Gina, that's exactly why they're white, mm-hmm. because of the contrast. So if you want to leave the cranes and the Othello white, we will.
Council need to take any action tonight?
Yes.
We need
it. Oops, that's not for me to decide. Sorry.
We need to approve the design. Is that correct?
So do we make a motion? Because there isn't one in the records. Okay, I make a motion to accept the design.
Second.
Presented in both white and red.
Seconded by Corey. Is there any we have a motion made and seconded to approve the design as presented by the beautification committee. Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Lynette, you have your approval.
Yay.
Okay.
Thanks, guys.
Yes.
And just a real quick invite to our event that we're having May 9th at the Senior Center. It's called Banners and Blooms. We're paying for these Hummers, not city money, and it's shaping up to be a wonderful, fun event. So we'd love to have you join us May 9th, 6:30, Senior Center. Okay?
That's a Friday
Thanks.
Night.
Friday night.
Yes. Thank you, Lynette. Moving to item 4.5 on our agenda, scanning project, and Stan has a presentation for the council.
Good evening, Mayor, Council, citizens. About a little over a month ago, I came and gave an informational presentation about a project to scan our hard copy documents and to move all of our documents into a document management system. At that time, it was just in concept to decide if it was feasible, if the council was behind that concept and to move forward. Since that time, I've done a lot, many, many hours of research. We've watched four different companies present their product and present proposals. And I also have downloaded three others, demo models, and went through them. And because the proposals came through at a very substantial price, the lowest one being over $43,000 and the highest at over $70,000, I found one that would do everything that the others would do that we can get for a substantially lower price. It will involve more work on my part, a little bit of programming. I will have to implement the solution, train the users, but I am very willing to do that. I think that falls within my job description, and it will save the city substantial money. What I'm asking for is a budget of $15,000 which will include the purchase of a high-speed scanner, the appropriate software for de-skewing the documents and de-speckling them and indexing them so that they will go into the document management system, make them usable, and then be interfaced so that the appropriate documents, when they are ready and approved, to be posted for the website for the citizens to access. So I would request that approval of the project and appropriation of $15,000.
Very good. Thank you, Stan. Is there any questions of the council, Stan?
How far back in time are we going to record documents? Has that been determined, or how far back
ultimately
do we need to
any
go?
Documents that are of archival value will be going to the archivist, that's my understanding. Those documents which would fall under the any public disclosure requests, we would propose to put those in after they've been properly screened for personally identifiable information, whatever, which can be electronically redacted. It will take some time to do all of this. We can move forward fairly fast. We've discussed it with the other staff and as far as how we would approach that. And we're pretty confident that we can do it with manpower we currently have. And if it's going too slowly and somebody wants to, you know, push the button and pay more money to hire someone, we can do that. But I believe that we can do a reasonably good job of doing it with the staff that we have.
Thank you, Stan. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve his request to begin the process of scanning and archiving or digitizing the documents of the City of Othello.
Make that motion.
Second.
Second. Okay. Any discussion?
Yeah. Where's the funding coming from?
Same question I'm going to ask.
General fund?
Spencer?
We have a few different options. That's certainly an option. What I would recommend, though, is taking a brief look at the documents that we're going to be archiving and see if we can use the street and water sewer, some of those other funds to help pay for it also. I don't know that we have to make that decision tonight, but if we can justify that these other funds are also benefiting from this, we can break that $15,000 up a few different ways.
It appears that we will have money to pay for it. It's just a matter of deciding how we're going to allocate each of the different funds. Very good. Any further discussion or questions?
I've got one. So this is going to be on the internet, so citizens can look this up. Can the citizens still come to the city and ask for that information, or do they have to go to the internet?
Stan, you want to answer that?
That's probably not a question that's necessarily just for me. That's a matter of policy from the city for you people to make. Ideally, if it's available at another resource, then we wouldn't normally have to produce that document under public disclosure request. We just point them to that resource. If you desire the city to do that, having it in this system will make it much faster and easier for us to accumulate that data to present it to them, and then they would pay per copy. But that's really something for administration and council to determine, and I don't think we're quite ready for that yet.
So does this archive the information in a PDF format so that you can just print it out as a PDF file?
If when they access it over the website, yes, it would be retrievable as a PDF file.
Okay.
As far as any, as we put these documents in there, the system has many features. As the document is changed, if we have a document and we make a change to it, it saves each version of that document along with that associated metadata. So that information would be available. So I would presume then that as the document that they can retrieve for metadata, we may have to produce that separately. I don't know that that will be available on the website. But it would certainly be available.
Wade, do you want to speak?
I was just to Mark's question, our goal would be to have, you know, 90+% of requests for PREs be directed to the website to retrieve that way instead of us researching. So that's what we're shooting for. That'll save us quite a bit of money, and staff time, and resources.
Okay. We have a motion made and seconded to approve this request. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Stan, I want to thank you. I know when Stan initially approached me and Wade about this idea, this is the direction that cities and governments are headed in digitizing their records. And we could either be at the end, or we could be at the, you know, always working from behind, or we could take the lead. And that's what we had a conversation with Stan about, and we decided we didn't want to be behind the eight ball. We'd rather be out in front of it. So we appreciate your effort. Thank you, Stan.
My conference this week, I spoke with Bill Schreier of the Office of the Chief Information Officer of the State of Washington, and I told him about this project, and he said that if we get this implemented, to his knowledge, we would be the first in the state of Washington to have such a system.
Excellent. Thank you, Stan.
We'll see if we can continue that.
Yes. The next item on our agenda is the Northwest Mailing Service Agreement. Spencer?
Thank you very much. The city has a little postage machine that's in our workroom, if you ever noticed it in the corner. It's a great little machine that makes sending letters, especially with our utility bills that we send out every month, that makes it really fast and really easy to lick and stamp everything. This machine does all that work and saves all kinds of time. We have a contract that we've had for a number of years with Northwest Maine, and tonight we have an update to that contract for the servicing of that machine, and it's the recommendation that we renew this contract with Northwest Mailing. The contract price, $1,805, is the same that it was last year, and that's for the
permission. Council?
We had already budgeted this out.
Yeah.
Okay. This is a budgeted item. This is informational, but we don't need a motion, do we?
We do, because it's a contract for the maintenance.
Okay. This time I'd entertain a motion to approve the contract with Northwest Mailing Services, Inc.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Motion's been made and seconded. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Spencer. Thank you. Item 4.7, grant application for city walk path. Terry? Dan?
Hi, my name is Dan Quick, and I'm in for Terry. He's off sick today, so you're getting the JV team. Okay, the what's at hand here is a city walk path throughout the parks. Spencer, you have that map. You can put it. The federal government has offered up to $8 million in funding for two grant programs, which is being managed by the Washington Department of Transportation. One promotes safer routes to the schools, and the other promotes pedestrian and bicycle walk paths. The program that the city is applying for is a pedestrian and bicycle walk path grant. The estimated cost to improving the city's walk path is $566,000. This amount is made up by $446,000 for construction costs and $120,000 in design and engineering. In order to improve the chances of being awarded the grant, it is suggested that the city match 10% of the construction cost in the amount of $41,000. This amount is not required as part of the application, but will add points to the award system, therefore increasing the chances that the grant may be awarded to the city. The staff is recommending or requesting council to approve the project and the application to the U.S., the Washington State DOT, which would require the 10% matching funds to be planned for the 2015 capital project. The budget is 2015 walk path capital budget is $41,000. And it's just on a side note, to gain points for the application process, a 10% matching fund of the amount of $41,000 has been put into the application. Total cost of the project is estimated again at $556,000. So, are there any questions that I might be able to answer?
Council?
No question. Are we adding to the existing, pass, or just improving what we already have?
The screen is pretty hard to read here, but everything in blue up here on the top is it goes down to the Main Street, and that circles around the two towers up there at L Street, and comes around, and that's all a little fresh. But everything in red, which is all this down here, is deteriorating. Sides and they're in need of being addressed. This would be replacing everything in red. What's in blue would be left alone.
Dan, I got a question too. Here a couple years ago, we lost part of our walking path when
right.
McFarland Junior High did their reconstruction. Is there a plan there to kind of get something back in place instead of using their driveway as the walk path, or
yeah, off of 10th there.
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I don't know the answer to that truthfully, but I can just tell you that what is in so what's in red would be all redone, so that would come up alongside those two schools. There, so I don't know how that routing is done in the engineering study part of it. It's not, I haven't seen that part of it. The matching funds, we lost out, it was understood that we lost out partly before because the governor pulled the funds last year, but along with that, we didn't have any matching monies, so we didn't score as high on the point board.
Okay, I'm interested in going forward with this project, but I'm also interested in how we're going to solve the problem that we had. We addressed it with council probably about 3 years ago, right after we noticed it happened.
I'm not sure how engineering is going to turn out, but I'm sure we could have input in when they engineer this path.
Is Larry working
yes.
on this?
Yes, Drain Osborne.
We
yes.
Okay, this time I'd entertain a motion to approve the application of Washington State Department of Transportation for the 2015 Walk Path Project.
I'll make that motion.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
Second.
A motion made and seconded to approve this application. Is there any more discussion or questions of Dan? Hearing none. I'll call for the question. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you,
Thank
Dan.
You.
So are we going to use those up to $41,000 later?
It'll be budget number
2015.
Okay. The next item, 4.8. Proclamation declaring National Day of Prayer. As the mayor of Othello, I'm going to read a National Day of Prayer proclamation. Whereas on April 17th, 1952, the Congress of the United States approved the joint resolution to provide for setting aside an appropriate day as National Day of Prayer. And whereas the National Day of Prayer has great significance for all of us as a nation, and whereas at this important time in our history, we also pray for the brave members of our armed forces, police officers, firefighters, and other first responders who put themselves in harm's way to protect their fellow Americans. Now, therefore, I, Sean Logan, Mayor of Othello, do hereby proclaim Thursday, May 1st, 2014, as the National Day of Prayer in Othello. And I encourage all citizens of our community to join together in giving thanks for our many freedoms and blessings. Signed this 28th day of April, 2014. In addition to that, I'll announce that there will be a ceremony held here at City Hall around the flagpole from noon to one on that day, as has been done annually in the past. Item 4.9, we have a request to dedicate city property, and Molly Clippert has a staff report.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. The Council may remember on April 14th regular Council meeting during the new business items, it was brought to Council the request for a memorial to honor the late Fred Calzadillas that was requested to be installed at the Lions Park Athletic Complex. To give a little background, the family and friends of Fred Calzadillas, who passed away in fall of 2013, approached the city and asked to somehow set up a memorial or to install a memorial to honor him and the over 30 years he spent mentoring and coaching the youth of Othello in the, or for the youth, Othello Youth Baseball Softball League. And so with that, the Renee Bagley Reichert, as well as his son Sean Prickett, got together and used some of the funds that they had raised for his memorial fundraiser in the fall of 2013 to put together a memorial plaque, which Council will see in their packets. There's a picture of the plaque. And they put this plaque together in order to, or in the hopes that they could install it at one of the fields at the Lions Park Athletic Complex. He coached a number of teams throughout his time with volunteering for the Youth Baseball League. As I said, he did donate over 30 years of his time to coach for the league in different capacities. So the staff is approaching Council with the request to install the sign to honor Fred Calzadillas at the Lions Park Athletic Complex on Field 3, on the fence of Field 3. With that, staff has also received a request on behalf of his friends and family to dedicate that same field in honor of him and the time he spent with the league and for the youth of Othello. So staff requests that Council review and approve the resolutions granting the request to install the plaque on city property, as well as a request to dedicate field number 3 at the Lions Park Athletic Complex in honor of Fred Calzadillas.
Thank you, Molly. Council? Any questions?
What material is the plaque? Is it a brass plaque?
It's like it's an aluminum, but it's got a sticker on it, so it can be put outside. And we have, I believe they made 4 more copies of the sticker, so should anything happen to it, we have those extra copies. We'll keep them in a file at City Hall. And I also have a picture of it, so we can put it in the file so we know if we need to replace it at any point, since it does become city property. Kind of, you know, we can make a mock-up of it, at least make it look similar. So.
Thank you, Molly. With that, I'd entertain a motion to, do we need to approve these motions for the resolution separately? Separately, okay. At this time, I'd entertain a motion to approve resolution 2014 to authorize the dedication of city property and name Lions Park Athletic Complex field number 3 as Fred Calzadillas Field.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion about that, bestowing that honor? Hearing none. All those in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Our second motion before us is to approve resolution 2014 to authorize the installation of a memorial plaque on field 3, the new Fred Calzadilius field at the Lions Park Athletic Complex in honor of Fred Calzadilius. I entertain that motion.
Make that motion.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion on the motion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Thank you, Molly.
Thank you.
And our next item on our agenda, 4.10, regarding a resolution to authorize the use of city property, All Cities Classic Car Show. And they have representatives here. Molly, would you present your report?
City staff and the Othello chapter of the All Cities Classic Car Club have gotten together to prepare for the annual Spud Run and Car Show, which the Othello chapter of the All City Classic Car Club has planned for July 18th for the Spud Run and July 19th for the Car Show. The registration event and parade of cars will be held on Friday, July 18th on Main Street. As in 2013, the parade of cars will take place from 4th Avenue to 7th Avenue up Main Street. Due to the, I guess, redirecting of traffic down on 1st Avenue. So the cars permitted in the slow drags will only be those that are registered for the car show on Saturday. And the Othello chapter of All Cities Classic Car Club will work with the city to obtain cones and barriers for that event. And also the Classic Car Club is requesting use of Kiwanis Park for the day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. on Saturday, July 19th, to hold their car show. And they, after talking with the Public Works Director and staff, every year they make very little impact on Kiwanis Park. We barely even know they're there. And so staff has reported that they support their request to use the city property at Kiwanis Park. And so with that, the Othello chapter of the All City Classic Car Club will incur the $200 special event fee for use of the facility. They do project to have under 500 people in attendance, and so that will allow us to provide additional garbage containers and porta potties due to the fact that our bathrooms have not been installed in Kiwanis Park yet. So staff recommends the City Council approve the resolution for the use of city property by the All City Classic Car Club.
Thank you, Molly. Council? I'd entertain a motion to approve the resolution authorizing the use of city property for the Othello chapter of the All Cities Classic Car Club's annual Spud Run and Car Show.
Make that motion. Well, I'll second it.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Any discussion? Is there any information you want to give us about this year's show? Yep. That's right. It is every year. Thank you. We do appreciate you putting that on. All those in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Next, Molly's stays. We've got another item here. Resolution to authorize use of city property Chamber of Commerce 4th of July event, Molly.
All right. This city staff has also begun preparing and working with the members of the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce 4th of July event planning committee to plan the 4th of July event in Lions Park this year. Preliminary plans include a fun run, a rotary breakfast, children's games, activities, various entertainment acts, and a fireworks show at the end of the night. There will also be various food merchandise vendors, as well as exhibits and informational booths. The vendors will be, the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce has requested to have the vendors set up the night before on Thursday, July 3rd. They will have use of the park at 4 p.m., and the vendor setup will begin or will occur between 5 p.m. and 8:30 p.m., and they have been notified that the city is not responsible for any vendor equipment that's left in the park, though there will be police checking in and out. The vendors do assume that responsibility of leaving their equipment in the park. But the 4th of July event itself is scheduled to be held on Friday, July 4th of this year, from 7 a.m. to 11 p.m. Two Public Works employees will be in the park staffing to ensure that, you know, cones and barricades are placed in the streets, electrical line is set out for vendors, trash is picked up, the bathrooms are kept up. And so that will be for, I believe, 10 hours, staffing for 10 hours on Saturday. And then on Saturday, July 5th, staff will clean up the event in the park from 7 a.m. to 3:30 p.m. So staff just requested City Council approve the resolution authorizing use of city property for the 4th of July event. And I forgot to mention that the chamber will incur the $400 special event fee for use of Lions Park due to the anticipated attendance of over 500 people, which will also allow for the city to provide portable toilets, additional garbage containers, and cover the additional landfill fees for the event.
Thank you, Molly. Council? This time, then, I entertain a motion to approve the resolution authorizing the use of Lions Park by the Greater Othello Chamber of Commerce for their 4th of July event.
Make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and second to approve this resolution. Is there any discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carried.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next item on our agenda is the Public Works Trust Fund for SR24 Industrial Area. Dan?
This is an application for a loan, so we're clear about this. The Public Works Trust Fund has become available for non-matching low-interest loans. We are considered a non-distressed community, which puts our interest rate at 2.55% for a 5 to 20-year loan. The available funds from the state are $175 million, with $7 million to each jurisdiction. The loan application deadline is May 16th of 2014. City staff and Gray and Osborne are working together and would like to apply for the fund for the SR24 Industrial Area Water and Sewer Project. This is Moon Street, Roosevelt, and that end of town. The city applied for the Public Works Trust Fund loan in 2012, but unfortunately did not get awarded the funds as state funds were cut. The estimated cost is $3 million for the sewer and $1,800,000 for the water upgrades. The grant estimated total for the water and sewer upgrade is $4.8 million. The Public Works, it is important to note that the loans associated with this enterprise fund, water and sewer, must by law be paid out of those funds. The following list of funds council consider for repayment to the Public Works Trust Fund loan, that's probably more expensive thing, but the water operating fund 401 and sewer operating fund 404. The staff recommends council approve for Public Works Trust Fund loan for the SR24 Industrial Area Utility Improvement Project. Any questions that I might be able to answer?
I don't know if you're prepared to answer this, but what's the long-term goal? This $4.8 million? I realize it's going to move water and sewer south along areas of town that haven't really been served. So. Looking ahead into the future, is this just another piece of the puzzle?
Well, we've done up to Moon and turned and went extension of this, it was my understanding that we would go clear out the bench, and that would pick up like Meadows or and all the way through what would be Roosevelt and that entire area out there, which sewer is a major issue with the groundwater that's going on out there. They're very restricted to what they can do. So if that developed, then the Buck Meadows project, which is now by Molly, I can't think of his last
Martinez.
Name.
Martinez.
Yeah. But anyway, that could develop, plus through well seven foot off the bench. It's my understanding that is what is going to benefit us that way. And along with that, I believe we cross over 24 and pick up Evergreen Industrial Lane in those areas as well. But I don't have that design in hand to tell you for sure.
My understanding, it would also come up to the west end of the Port District property, which would make it easier for the port to work on their expansion of their property in the future too. For that was our original intention, and a lot
picking
of that
up,
too,
yeah.
To pick up the port.
And the port,
so
it's my understanding the port would actually end up going from 14th clear down, basically what would be 14th clear down to the edge of Evergreen.
Yes.
To pick up somewhere there. So you can see that the advantages could be widespread there. But this is a loan application, and the time frame is limited on when we have to apply for it. Anyway, it says here March, May 16th due. So whether you choose to do this or not, we have a limited amount of time. So that's why I was elected to come and say all this stuff tonight.
So Dan, we're going after this specific project because we already have it prepared and we can easily submit it for application?
Yes, the design has been done and we were all set and ready until they cut the fundings.
Yeah.
It was on the boards to do. And then the governor came through and said, oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, it was one of the grants that we were awarded but never came through to the final where they gave us the money.
Okay, we don't have anything else sitting on the shelf that you could put in with this application as well?
Well, this particular one before, previously, it was street, sewer, water, curb, gutter, storm.
Yeah.
But this particular one is only for sewer and water. So that's a major step forward in getting things developing down in that end of town.
Currently, right now, correct me if I'm wrong, currently right now down in that area, it's just water?
Currently, all we have is water out to Ventura, and we don't have any sewer capacity, no storm capacity. Storm isn't in this project.
We did get a Public Works Trust Fund loan a few years back for the engineering portion of it, which is almost $500,000, which has been all done. And like I said, we were actually in the final selection mode. We were selected. We were there to go forward with the project.
They pulled the funding before it was awarded.
The reasons behind my questions is we're going after $4.8 million when there's $7 million available.
Yeah, that sounds a fair enough question. So
it's, I can kind of answer that a little bit too.
Up to $7 million per jurisdiction.
Yes, provided you have a good project for them to fund.
We actually, when we originally put in, we had several projects put in here. 14th Avenue was one of them that did not make the cut. We had part of the Moon Street eventually got done. Then we had what we call the South Broadway project too. But we also originally looked at it too. This is just a loan too. And we looked at we do have a lot more borrowing capacity, and especially where this is coming out of water and sewer. We figured this would be a good start without overburdening.
It expires May 16th.
Our budget.
The application.
Yes. And the application is for the amount of $4.8 million.
Correct.
But, what I'm saying, there's $7 million available and we're only going after $4.8. If we had another project sitting on the shelf that we could put in there with it to...
Understanding that, it's strictly for sewer and water this time.
Yeah.
It doesn't incur the street, the curb, the gutter, the storm.
You don't have another sewer and water project waiting to be done?
Oh, I don't have one in my pocket. No.
Okay, all right.
I don't know, other than what's here, that if there's okay. something that could be added in there. Okay. I know this one has been designed.
And with the loans that are dropping off this year and borrowing this amount of money will be the least impact to the city mm-hmm. financially is the reason why, too, that we're going toward this amount instead of the full $7 million, because this all has to be, it's a loan, it's not a grant.
I understand that. Yeah.
So speaking to that, as we develop property with water and sewer, does that mean then that we're going to recoup any of that as we have development?
It's not my place, but what I would think that you would have a frontage agreement that a latecomer's fee that you would put on mm-hmm. attaching to this. It's your choices there. I would assume that this isn't forever free. I would assume that as you attach, as you pay your frontage, your property frontage to these water slash sewers, that there would be a latecomer's agreement to go in there, which in my thinking would give you some of your money back.
Spencer?
But that's your...
I don't have an answer to that question.
Can I? Okay.
Previously, we've put a water line into well 7, which borders the highway, goes to bench, and comes back in. And that one has a latecomer's agreement per frontage property. And as these are being developed, they're having to pick that up. Mm-hmm. I would think if they have direct access to the new water slash sewer line, that would be a similar feature to go with that.
Assume our city ordinances would,
yep.
would govern that. So
1216.
Yeah.
There's minimum monthly service charges. There's volume charges. I mean, if you're going with commercial, you know, they count the heads, and you know, so everybody that would be provided sewer along that corridor
and water
would have hookup fees, and there's always. You know, there's already a fee associated with that.
There's one difference there. The existing residents, in my understanding, the existing residents are currently tapped for water to our existing AC water line that's running down along the edge of Roosevelt, won't be paying for a new attachment to the new main. That would just be an upgrade on the city's behalf.
Right.
But anybody that comes into Bear property and develops beyond that, then they would pick up a fee, a frontage fee for that water line.
Well, you're talking about the Buck development area?
Correct.
Well, as soon as people started moving into that development area, as they took a meter.
Right, but Buck Meadows currently has a water loop system in there.
Right, okay. But as soon as you put a meter on it or start metering water,
then they
would have
pay.
A meter charge. And
correct.
You,
yeah. That's correct.
Right.
But those particular residences, I don't foresee them if they buy a lot at Buck Meadows. That particular lot doesn't have a latecomer's fee attached to it, because that's all part of it. But anybody
I'm
that...
I'm talking about a latecomer's fee. Yeah. I'm talking about... When they put a meter in,
correct.
they're going to
pay.
Yeah.
That's
correct.
Pay. And
then, once they're hooked up, they're paying every month from that time on.
Correct.
So that's how you're going to make your money, is bringing people to it. But you got to be there to provide it first. It's like the build it, they will come, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good analogy. All right. Staff recommends the council approve this application. Oh, I'm sorry.
You got somebody raising their hand.
Ken.
Ken.
Yes.
Ken Kaler, 1006 Spruce. I just want to clarify a couple of things here. I know we're talking about this project. You know, that project was promised 50 years ago, and it never happened. And those particular property owners down there have been waiting for this forever. And I think that sewer is a great thing because it'll tie in with the Port District, make that loop come on down. Because there's no other way to get that sewer out of the Port District. It bottlenecks them to develop their land there. Besides, it'll complete the loop coming off of 14th, the water line, when the Port District finishes their project. Comes on through, that water will come down, make a loop, and tie in with your Broadway loop. So that takes care of your water problem. The other thing, what John's talking about here, why not go for a little more money while you're thinking about that particular part as a loan? Think about the water line you're going to have to put in out here on well number what, 9 that we're working on? 8, whatever we got east of town. You got a mile of water line right there to put in, and I don't think we've actually put any funding in there yet for that water line. We've got it for the well. With that water line, you could do it at the same time. And it's already proposed, most of it's already designed. So think about that along with what you're doing there.
Thank you.
Thanks, Ken.
Is there any other questions that I can? Are you satisfied? Any further comment? Staff recommends we approve this application for a Public Works Trust Fund loan for the SR 24 Industrial Area Utility Improvements Project. This time I'd entertain a motion.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded to approve an application. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries.
Is that with them seeing if we can add in?
Yeah,
some
I think
of that line.
I was gonna suggest that we staff
maybe
talk to Larry and see about adding
if we can
an application in for that water line from the well.
Get close to the 7 million.
Right now.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
Next item on our agenda is 4.13. Ordinance to amend existing chapter 5.16 titled Fireworks. I'm sorry.
So we need a second motion for the sewer portion. One for the water and one for the sewer.
Okay, so we did the motion for the first one.
For the water.
Okay. For the 24 industrial area.
I'll make the motion for the sewer.
I'll second that.
Okay. We have a resolution, second resolution to approve. Motion's been made and seconded for the sewer and water project application to the Public Works Trust Fund loan. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Let me redo the first one. Since we approved a motion for an application.
I'll make that motion for the water.
Second.
Motion's been made and seconded. Is there any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Thank you, Debbie. Last item on our agenda, item 4.13, ordinance to amend existing chapter 5.16 titled Fireworks. Debbie, do you want to read that notice? Do you want me to read that notice? Next item on our agenda, unfinished business, number 5.
So that's going to be published on May 8th in the old Outlook. Well, it's what it says at the bottom.
Our official newspaper.
Yeah. And I'd like you to emphasize that if you have, to the public, of Ofella, if you have issue with this, be here to talk about it. Because we're talking about changing an ordinance that exists and has existed for many years to allow fireworks to be
discharged
in the city limits. And we want to hear from the fire department, the police department, and the citizens of Ofella.
Okay. Item 5, unfinished business. Is there any unfinished business to come before the council tonight? Item 6, any new business to come before the city council tonight? Hearing none, before I go into the council receiving the department head's March reports, I have some mayors and announcements. Number 1, there's a rabies and dog licensing clinic scheduled for this Saturday, May 3rd from 9 a.m. to noon. The producers of Animal House will also be in attendance. That'll be held outside City Hall here this Saturday. Number 2, the council will review 2 ordinances at the upcoming workshop. One ordinance will provide changes to the water and sewer codes, and one ordinance will provide changes to the garbage codes. Number 3, the Lions Club will sponsor the White Cane Day on May 2nd and 3rd at various locations throughout the community. Number 4, in order to meet the state requirements for training and Open Public Meetings Act and records, public records and retention, we can provide training at the June 2nd workshop. So we will have that training in lieu of a workshop meeting here at the City Council Chambers. We will also include training for Robert's Rules of Order. The meeting will be scheduled at 5:30 p.m. and I understand that we're making concessions to allow elected officials from other agencies here within the city and county, and also potentially from other cities. So with that, we'll move to item number 7, 7.1, department heads March reports. And we'll start with the clerk.
Civil service testing for entry-level police candidates and certified a list of 3 entry-level police candidates. They were certified and those candidates have been forwarded to the police department. As part of our records program, we arranged a review of records That will be archived in the state's archive building in Ellensburg, and I put down in Olympia. And so they came and retrieved some of our records, and they have taken those off-site. There's a list of the different businesses that were issued for the month of March. And Rebecca Ozuna was awarded $1,075 towards the registration cost to attend the Northwest Clerks Professional Development 1 Institute. And our costs will include one-night lodging and any meals and mileage not covered by the registration. Her attendance to the PE classes is actually a three-year commitment, 1 week each year, and she'll be attending that for the next 3 years. I attended the annual Washington Municipal Clerks Association conference. It was a 2.5-day conference in Pasco, and there was various workshops. I did attend Beginning Government of Accounting Part 1, Stress, Nutrition, and the Immune System. A lot of roundtable discussions on public records. There were several that I attended on those. Public disclosures, handling difficult requests, and our final speaker was on ethical dilemmas, and a report from Olympia on the recent legislative updates. And thank you for allowing us to attend that training.
Thank you, Debbie. Is there, Gary, were you going to give a report tonight? Or you're on the workshop, okay. I didn't warn my staff beforehand to be prepared to give a report tonight, so I will, Debbie. So Debbie's ready in season and out of season, but I would like to know if the other staff, Public Works, Terry's not here, Spencer or Dave, are you prepared to give a March report? Okay, Dave?
Over the last few weeks, we would begin current team building within the department. One of them is that we're going to be in a promotion process for another sergeant's position. It's been a long process about putting that together. We have four applicants that were available for that promotion. All four applicants applied. The promotion process is tomorrow. They've been writing essay questions for the last week or so. They're going to be graded from an outside source that's going to actually look at those. The promotion process tomorrow will include a work-based scenario program. It'll also include an oral board in the afternoon. After that, there'll be an interview with Mr. Farish and myself with the applicants. And we hope to have that promotion by the 15th. We're also working on an accreditation process. The goal for that is end of August that we'll be renewing our state accreditation for law enforcement agencies within the state. Those are kind of things we'll work on today.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
Spencer?
Yes. The finance department is always working on a couple of different projects. Right now, our biggest project is the 2013 financial statement package. We have obviously the financial statements themselves, we have the notes that accompany those, and we have various other schedules that also accompany the financial statements. And those go through specific aspects of our financial statements, grants, debt, those just specific areas of our financial statements in a little more detail. So we're in the middle of compiling those. We have 150 days past the end of our fiscal year, which is the end of next month, to have those financial statements completely completed and submitted to the state auditor's office. And so we're well on our way there. I have a couple other reports that I submit to you, to the city administrator, mayor, and council every month. And there's some great information in there. It's a brief analysis of different funds, different types of revenues, different types of expenses, and where we are with those different revenues and expenses for the time of the year, where we happen to be at that particular at that particular moment. The report that you have in board docs tonight ends with the end of March, so it's 25% of the way through the year, and it's looking at the finances through that lens. I also have, also on that report, this is the main report, I have the first section is just some interesting tidbits for late night reading. If you're ever having a problem falling asleep at night, this might help you out a little bit. There's some great reminders in here, though. Budget considerations. We have some items that we've certainly discussed in council, but we haven't added officially into the budget, the pool repairs. These are things that we've discussed in council and we've discussed with the finance committee, but we haven't actually moved forward through ordinance. So I don't want you to forget about those, and hopefully this report is a nice reminder of those topics. I have a few other reports that also go into the number side that talk about fund balances. And are there any specific questions about those reports? Or I guess you don't have to have specific questions tonight. As council members, feel free to come into my office if you ever have any questions, and we can talk through whatever you want. So,
very good. Thank you, Spencer.
Thanks. I'll do that.
Okay. No further items on our agenda. I'll now adjourn the meeting.